The word of the Lord from James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the epistle to James that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for the first Sunday in Lent. What happens when God acts on his desires? Man sakes alive, did he or she ever stand the test of time? So often in life, we hear about those rare individuals that really proved to be the genuine article. They really practiced what they preached. They got the job done. When times got tough, they were the tough who got going. Relatives, teachers, coaches, bosses, employees, volunteers, and community leaders that totally seem to fit the definition of what inspired the opening of James' epistle today. But there's a catch. Almost immediately, verse 14 betrays the reality of our human condition and the real results of our innermost desires. When we act solely on our desires, the result is not what any of us truly want, nor want to experience unless we have to. Being the one who endures to the end means first confessing who we really are. And when we know who we really are, then we know where the blessings came from that gave us that strength to remain steadfast under trial. And when we ignore that truth, our desire to choose our own identity causes nothing more than death for the unrepentant sinner. You know, we have a lot of problems with identity in our culture today. It's a society where some people are confused by who they really are. Some people pick the wrong career, and it really doesn't define who they are, but they are stuck in it because of the level of financial remuneration it provides for them to live to the standard they are comfortable with. I see this a lot. But instead of being what God created them to be and living on less, they drone on in misery because the money has become their master. I've seen people living more pitiably in dual relationships, not satisfied with the love of only one as God designed it. They are seeking after others to make them happy and live a life that lies about their monogamy with both of their partners. And I have seen abuse carefully hidden in the confines of the home. The abuser is protected by those that are abused, with everyone pretending everything's okay because the abuser provides the home and the income. Wow, Pastor, harsh. But that's not me. I know it isn't. All of those happened in another congregation or the army or outside our community of faith. But temptations do come to all, and we should never think we're above it either, because the seeds of sin are already dwelling in us, just waiting to sprout forth. Like the people that gossip about a peer in the moment they walk away. I've been guilty of that myself. What about the people that hide private sins, people that lie when asked honest questions, or just plain pretend they can't help when they know full well they can? I think we've all been there and done that. We may think we can somehow keep it deep down where God can't see it. After all, if our friends and neighbors don't know our sinful desires, we think we have somehow kept it under wraps. Hebrews 4:13 teaches us, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And Proverbs 5 adds, for your ways are in full view of the Lord. He sees their every step. The desire of our hearts is already inclined to rebelling against God, and he's fully aware of it. And that's just the beginning. On our own, rehabilitating our sins is not unlike a doctor operating on himself when he's unconscious. You're certain to die. And knowing that full well leaves us open to Satan's manipulation. St. Augustine says, there are three things which go to complete sin. Number one, the suggestion. Number two, the taking pleasure in. And number three, the consenting to. 1 John 2:16 seals Augustine's godly words of wisdom, saying, all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. What a tragedy that the Christian heart is so easily swayed to sins, motivated by the desires of the heart, the siren songs of the world and the devil himself. We get caught up in the race, dressed to impress, and titillating talk fills our Snapchat accounts. Televisions tell the tales Lucifer once told, and our search histories have so much to be sorrowful over. We simply sell out to the world, making it our master that provides nothing but spiritual pain. 1 John 2:17 continues, and the world is passing away with all its desires. Some say, you must see it to believe it. But if we waited to see the world's end, then it's too late to believe how we could have ever been saved from being destroyed with it. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James cries out to us today, do not be deceived, my beloved. Our sinful desires, the world and Satan himself, have nothing to offer us but eternal death. Like grabbing onto a boat anchor as if it were a life preserver only ensures our demise by spiritual drowning. But Christ calls to you from the ship, which is his church, and we look to him, no longer seeing to believe, rather believe to see our salvation in him. In religion class, we study the office of the pastor. Our opening exercise tasks us with comparing a pastor's role to that of the head of a family, the CEO of a corporation, a teacher, a sharecropper, a counselor, and finally, an advertising agent. Of all the comparisons, the one that catches their imagination most is that of the advertising agent and inspires them to come up with other jobs as well, not listed in our curriculum. They have suggested that a pastor is like a customer service agent on the phone, a spiritual helpline, if you will. They thought a pastor is like an insurance salesperson, only he sells eternal life insurance for free. And I realized that while they were focusing on what a pastor does, the reality is they were describing what everyone is called to do and equipped by the Holy Spirit to do it. Their enthusiasm is always fun, not because they're interested in the topic, eighth graders rarely are, but because I can tell they get it. It's never about what we want. It's about what Christ wants for us and the hope we have in Jesus. You see, pastors are not the only ones called to do ministry. And they're certainly not the only ones that get the spiritual gifts necessary to carry out said ministry. Everyone, by faith, gets the perfect gifts that come down from the Father, which pushes the evil seeds of sins out of our hearts. not just the teachers, ministers, and preachers, but also the civic leaders, the laborers, and the managers, and the fire personnel, first responders, the soldiers, and the sailors, the builders, and the craftsmen, skilled and unskilled alike, all have been given gifts by God to manage His creation. And enabled by the Holy Spirit, we can do the good works the whole world needs and not the evil deeds that destroy it. This was the life for which we were baptized. This is why God generously redeemed us and saves us through the death Jesus died for us. We know what happens when we act on the desires of our hearts. We all die. But do you know what happens when God acts on the desires of His heart? Only His Son dies. And He dies so we can have eternal life in Him. A gospel lesson says this perfectly for our first Sunday in Lent in verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus throughout these 40 days of Lent. Amen.